Now, we're going to talk about faith. What is faith? I like help. I was teaching also last year, and this year, part of this year, the Gospel of Mark, the 16 chapters, every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at same time that KFC, we were teaching this, the Gospel of Mark, each chapter. And it's been a good experience. So for those who attend these classes, they know that I like interaction, I like feedback. It's important. I don't like to talk all the time. I don't know if you know this story, but somebody prayed for Israel. I believe in prophecy. I know that you believe in prophecies too. And somebody prayed for Israel when he was 6-7 years old and said, you're going to be a pastor. And he believed it. But at one point, this person said, I think that you will be a pastor. This is what God is giving to me. But in one point, you will be working in something that you're going to get a lot of money, and you will have money. But in one point, you need to decide what you want to do. And while the time passed, we were talking with him, said, you would like to be a pastor? He said, yes, yes. But one day he said, Daddy, I don't want to be a pastor anymore. I said, why? They talk a lot. And he's right. Yeah. So, okay. Let's open our Bibles in Hebrew. Chapter 11, verse 1, is it, yeah? Good. Or you can read it from here. Who would like to read? I have the microphone, so they are recording. Chuck, or who would like to do it? Steph? Muchas gracias. Again, please, yeah. Gracias, yeah.
Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
We are in agreement with this word? See? What about if all together we can read it, okay? Now, excellent. It's good. So as a prayer introduction, I want to say definition. Faith, the word in Greek, pistis, reliance upon and trust in God, a central emphasis of Christianity. Pistis. Do you see that word sometimes? Pistis, faith. So reliance upon and trust in God, a central emphasis of Christianity. Introduction. Christianity is a largely characterized, how do you say that word? Oh my God. Characterized by its emphasis on faith and beliefs. Okay? Christians are commonly called believers. How many of you are believers? Leave your hand, please. I want to see it. Okay. How many say amen? Amen. How many say amen? Amen? Yes. Don't forget that I am Pentecostal now. Okay? Yeah. And commitment to Christianity typically involves a confession of faith. According to the Lexham Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, the centrality of faith in Christianity reflects the biblical significance of faith. For example, the author of Hebrews knows that one of the basic teachings of early Christianity involves faith toward God. You remember that we mentioned yesterday? This is Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 1. So Paul's doctrine of justification by faith also demonstrates the Bible emphasis on faith. Amen? And based on Paul's teaching about faith in Romans and Galatians, Martin Luther argued that Christians must understand their salvation as sola fide. This is what Martin Luther says, sola fide. What does this mean? By faith alone. Do you remember the story of Martin Luther? I don't want to repeat it. Okay, so the biblical concept of faith is not meant to boil Christianity down, yeah, to set a religious ideas. No, it's more than this. What is faith? Let's talk about the root of the word. It became from the Latin credo, credo. I don't know how you say in English, credo. In Spanish, creo. In English, means I believe. This is what I believe, what I believe. And to understand a little bit about this, let's see how this credo situation came about. How many of you know about the Nicaeas creed? Yes? Based on the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4, about 300 people gathered from the church in 325 AD in the city of Nicaea in Asia Minor near Constantinople. Yeah? How many of you remember the story? I don't remember anything. I was so bad in history. I have to learn. I did. So history indicates that the early church affirms only that Jesus Christ is the Lord. How many of you say Christ is the Lord? Repeat with me. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, again. Jesus Christ. Is the Lord. Tell your neighbor, Jesus Christ is the Lord. This is so important because in this time, the early church people need to ask each other, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? If they answer, Jesus Christ is the Lord, so it's good. Understanding that now we are talking, as people say here, now we are talking. I like that phrase. One story for me, one situation. I came several times when I was in Chile to visit the church here many years ago. And one day, they stopped me after September 11. They stopped me on immigration, and they say, you need to go for a special room where they send people that are coming here. And I was there waiting probably 1 hour, nervous. I don't know what they're going to say. So it was like a court. It was like a court. It was one person on the seat, like a court, and another person was like here, and they called me in front of the judge, I think. And they say, why are you here? I say, I'm pastor, and I'm coming for camp meeting. Well, I don't remember what conference or I don't remember neither. And they said, if you're a pastor, what is the Trinity? And I mentioned it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I explained them. Okay. And a couple of other questions, theological questions, and I passed to another phase. And I went through another door, and one Latino guy was there, and he asked me in Spanish, who is the Lord? And I answered, Jesus Christ is the Lord, brother. I told him. And he said, brother, welcome to America. So that was the word. Jesus Christ is the Lord. So the general, a little bit behind again. Back, one back, yeah. So we say the general idea is that the idea of the creed grew gradually. It was like asking some specific question to those who were seeking to identify themselves with the church and with the Christianity faith. This was before they were baptized and became part of the membership of the church. Now, so we see here the creed. You can read it. Some people is always saying why we have one war here is a problem for some people, the Catholic Church. What they were writing at that time was the Catholic Church was the universal church. It's not that the Roman Catholic Church that exists today. So in a few words, we are a Catholic because we are universal. We are evangelical because on the 1500, Martin Luther, he don't want to split the church. This is what some Roman Catholics said. Martin Luther, he wants to do a sectarian church and try to split the church. And he don't want to do it. Just he published the 95, how do you say, thesis? On the church door to the leadership can repent about what they are doing. They are asking money for giving you the forgiveness. This is why he said, sola fide. By faith alone, solo por fe. So, if we can read it together. 1, 2, 3. I believe. Amen. This is amazing. It's good when we understand how people have some suffering because of the faith. So all this explanation about faith is what we believe. I mentioned yesterday, yeah, for us it's easy to understand who is Jesus Christ today. But at that time, it was so complicated to understand even who was the Lord. They didn't understand the concept. They don't know. Even they know the Word of God, the Old Testament, but they never understood. Neither the disciples understood who Jesus was. Until the Holy Spirit came upon them, they received the revelation from the Holy Spirit. So what's mean faith? What is your faith when people ask you? What you will say? My faith is in Christ. It's Christ in the Christianity. So now, one question. Why we believe? The core beliefs of Christianity are summed up in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Somebody would like to... We have the microphone here. You can read from here or from your Bible. Who would like to do it? Gracias, Mary. Do you want to do it in Spanish or?
No, I'll do it in English. Thank you.
English is good.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures.
Amen. This is a God word. Amen. Word of God. So this is another word that sometimes is hard for me to pronounce. Word. Or world. World. So I speak at a church two weeks ago, and I was looking in Google, and Google can do the automatic CC, how to say, subtitles. And I say word, and translate it to me like a war. War. I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about word. So I need to learn, when you talk, I'm looking to you how you pronounce, how you put your thousand. You remember that? Thousand. Yeah, I try to say good. But my kids, they say, no, Daddy, you are not pronouncing. Okay, unique among all other religions. Christianity is more about relationship than religious practice. The Christian's goal is to cultivate a close walk with God. Walk with God. Yes? That relationship is made possible through the work of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many say amen? Amen. Amen. Gracias. In español or in English? Amen. Good. Beyond these fundamental beliefs, there are many other elements that are, or at least should be, indicative of what Christianity is and what Christianity believes. Christians believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. How many of you believe that? We believe the Bible, the scriptures, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Christians believe in one God who exists in three persons. Yes? How many say amen? Amen. Amen. So, God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. This is what we said. Three dimensions of faith. I talked yesterday about the three dimensions of faith, three ways of faith. When the writers are talking about faith, they mention three important things. So, number one, or A, conversion faith, as the instrument of our salvation. Yes, when we believe, what is credo, what do? We convert. We change, we repent. Change our way and take the right way. Conversion faith as the instrument of our salvation. First, yes? Conversion faith is the faith through which we are justified. This is the faith identified in the scriptures as the trust or confidence or belief in the, atoning sacrifice of Christ that occurs at the moment of conversion. See? Comprende? Or comprehende? Both, yeah. By grace, second, this is the faith Paul referring to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Amen? And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Say with me, gift of God. Amen? Not as a result of works. This is what Martin Luther published. This is by faith. It's a gift. You cannot buy it because Jesus Christ did it. This is our faith. Amen? So that no one, may I boast? See also Roman, all this. You want to take note? Or some of you will like the PowerPoint later, just let me know, okay? Next one. We say conversion faith, and now we see, it's coming. Conversion faith. It was giving the PowerPoint some problems to me too. Continuing faith. We say the first one is conversion faith, and the second one is continuing faith. As a firm trust in God and His work, continuing faith is the faith we exercise daily. You remember yesterday when we said? No? Don't remember? Okay. As we look confidently to God to do in through our lives all that He has promised to do. This is the faith that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So we say yesterday that the second dimension of faith is this kind of faith when we can talk to God, that we can speak to Him and we can say, He's speaking to me. And people can say, you're crazy, the unbelievers. Because how you can talk with God? You are loco de la cabeza, we say yesterday. Loco. No, we are not loco. We can talk, and this faith, that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. That what produces in you? Life. For you, for others. Love your neighbor. So all this is together, okay? But the Holy Spirit produced this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Amen? This is the faith of Hebrews 11 compared with 1 Peter 1:8 and others. And believers have this faith, but in varying. It's not easy. Degrees of intensity. Some are more and others less confident in the goodness and greatness of God throughout the course of daily life. Amen? See? Next one. Third one. According to the Reform interpretation, as Orthodox doctrine. Okay? Jude 3. According to the charismatic interpretation, as the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? So charismatic faith is the faith noted in several texts that appears to be spontaneous and functions as the divinely enabled condition on which the more overtly supernatural activities of God are suspended. ¿Sí? ¿Comprende? Yeah. Eat it. Bite. Assimilate. We are assimilating. Yes? Sam Storms, in his book, The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gift, he says, this, I believe, is the gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Consider these possible examples of the gift of faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen? See your neighbor. Tell God can do it. Do you remember the first message of Professor Valentino, Tim Valentino? Mercy me. Whatever we ask, we will answer. God will answer. Okay. How is faith sustained? Next one. Yeah. How? Is this a question for you? How is faith sustained? Even in these days that are really complicated, how we can sustain faith? What do you think? How we can do it? I see people sinking here. How? Huh? For the Holy Spirit, Kara said. Good. What else? Look what God already done. Good. By experience. Good. What else? How faith is sustained? By the God's word. Good. Faith according to the Gospels. The Synoptic Gospel. Do you know what is a Synoptic Gospel? Yes? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first three Gospel is Synoptic. Syn. Optic. They look. Syn. Sight. Synonymous. Syn. Optic. They see the same. They look the same. Okay? So, Jesus initiates his ministry by proclaiming, read with me this verse, the time it's giving me problems, the PowerPoint, that was probably my, yeah. Don't worry about it. So, we're not recording, no? I mean, camera live? No? Okay. In the television, sometimes happen. Yeah, we have it here. The time. So Jesus, he initiates, initiates his ministry by proclaiming, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Same words that John the Baptist, when say, the kingdom has come. A prophecy, a revelation from the Lord. With this statement, Jesus calls for a serious commitment to his message and invites disciples, what? To follow him. Tell your neighbor, follow him. Probably you have better accent than me. Tell again, follow him. Amen. You believe it. Faith in Jesus Christ. The people in the gospel of Jesus Christ specifically, they found faith in the scriptures, although their life before Jesus, during the Roman Empire, you remember that we talk about the Roman Empire was corrupt, was complicated, really complicated. So the faith was tested over there, really complicated by the empire, which dominated most of the world at that time, was a world without hope. But when Jesus came, something changed. At least in Mark's Gospels, we saw three things that Jesus did. One of them was saving. The other was healing. And the third was deliverance. I will explain you now why I'm talking about that. So, the Gospel of Mark is very, how to say in English, concise. Go directly to the point. Bullet. It's talking about Jesus' life, ministry, and what he did. So Mark was trying to explain, to say to the people who Jesus is, or who Jesus was. When he wrote his book, his gospel, around year 68, 72, under Nero, Emperor, under Roman Empire, anyway, complicated to say Jesus Christ is the Lord. I will explain you Friday about that when we talk about love. I will explain you more what was the problem over there. So we said, in relationship to the theme of faith, the Synoptic Gospel record two phrases that relate healing to faith. Number one, let it, the requested miracle, be done according to your faith. See? See is, are you agree? See? Second, your faith has healed you. Another phrase, Matthew, you can see all the scriptures here. We could say that there is a relationship between faith and healing. It's a relationship. They are linked. How do you say linked? We could say that there is a relationship between faith and healing and how it should be understood from a theological perspective. How we can see it. Three important points. The miracle tradition of the Synoptic Gospel focuses on the good news and how it claims victory over evil. The miracle stories point to true faith in God through Jesus, not to the joy and satisfaction of the person who is healed. That was what these people in Corinthians was giving more glory to them than Christ. This is what Paul say, what are you saying? The most important is Christ. In the gospel, we see that the most important, what is the most important? And number one, focus on the good news and what Jesus did more than the person. It's a testimony, of course. Mark is speaking about numbers, about people, names, just referring that was important for Jesus. But what most important is for Mark, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Number two, although Jesus commends the faith on the sick person, deeper faith does not guarantee health or physical safety. For example, John the Baptist. He has a portrait, how do you say portrait? A great faith. But what happened with him? Beheaded, how do you say? Beheaded. But he has faith. What happened? This is sometimes happened to us. This person is a real good person. What is happening here? Who sinned? You remember that word? His parents? He? We always want an answer for everything. We always are asking for an answer. But we don't have answers sometimes. Three, in most of the people he heals, Jesus observes and commends their decision to seek him in their darkest hour. Say that, darkest. By the way, I tried to find out in the dictionary that word said it's not darkness or darkest, yeah. It's good. They recognize his power and authority. What does it mean here? Jesus observes and commends their decision to seek him in their darkest hour. I remember in one of my classes, a spiritual formation group, one of my professors, who is the director of the program, who invited me to do the spiritual direction program, she said, and she gave us one book to read, and this book, the name is, let me think in English, The Dark Night of the Soul. When you read just the title, say, well, what is it talking about? What this book said is related with one person many years ago, around 1600, Juan de la Cruz. He wrote same book, but now it's different, changing experience, and said, in the dark night of the soul, don't forget the promise of God. We are not free of suffering. This is what we are talking now about faith. And the disciples, the apostles, they were living suffering. Do you remember, Dr. Valentino was talking Sunday too about two persons that they want, James and John. What they want? Give us a place. And what Jesus answered them. It's not for him. But before answer that, I think that I got a word here. You can find out with me. Mark chapter 10. You can open your Bible. In chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, approached him and said, Teacher, we want you to do something for us. If we ask you, what do you want me to do for you? He asked them. They answered him, Allow us to sit at your right and at your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? What Jesus is talking about here? What Jesus is saying? Of course, it's not for me. I cannot decide who is sit on my right or my left because my Father, he is making reservation for those who deserve this. But what I can tell you is if you are able to drink the same cup that I will drink, and they say, we are able. And how Jesus died? And how they die? In the same way, so Scholars say that this word is a prophecy. Jesus is prophesying to them. I cannot give you what you're asking me, but I surely said, if you want to drink the same cup or the same baptized, that I will be baptized, you will do it. So your faith is enough. Your faith has sustained enough to die as the same way what I will do. So. How many of you heard this word before? The verb for healed, so, is also used for saved in the spiritual and an eternal sense. So is the Greek word translated save, healed, and delivered. So we have an example here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What the Bible is saying here in the original, for he will so. He will save you, heal you, and deliver you. In the Gospel of Mark, we see that. Mark is showing us when Jesus came, he healed people, do miracles. He saved people, and he delivered people. A man with an evil spirit. So when we read this, we can do it together. 1, 2, 3. And she will. And now we want to do it again. But we will replace save by so. Okay? It's easy. So. And she. And you are to name him Jesus. For he will so his people from their sins. Why Jesus came? To save, to heal, and deliver. From evil spirit, because people are dying in sins. People need to know Jesus. And this is the first dimension of faith, conversion faith. So why he wants to get us, make us free, set us free? For us a continuing faith, the faith that we can have in direction with him. To do the same third dimension, what he did. The gospel also mentioned, any one of you will be better than John. You will do better things than John. You remember that word? Why? Because we are sustained by faith. And this word said, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save so his people from their sins. When we understand what Jesus is trying to say, we say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Because your love is so great, it's enough. Like the song, your grace, gift. Love. Your grace is enough. You remember that song? We have some singers here. They could sing this song. We said at the beginning, in the introduction, that in the beginning of Christianity, some specific questions were asked to those who were seeking to identify with the church and the Christian faith. This was before being baptized and becoming part of the church membership. And they asked this simple statement. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord? How many say amen? I will read this and you will answer amen. Again, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Amen. Do you believe in God? Amen. The Father Almighty? Amen. It was difficult for them. They need to give their life because of their faith. The faith that they profess. Thank you. You know that. Now, how do we believe what we believe? What do you think, Katrina? Why do we believe what we believe? This was a question asked by philosophers in ancient times, because we have seen it, because we feel it, because we touch it with our fingers. So the complications around the Greek experience about Plato, the thinkers, philosophers, everything need to have an answer. Everything need an answer. Science, faith, reason, faith is in opposition to these other two concepts. And basically, epistemology is a subdivision of philosophy. And this is the question they are trying to answer. They try to answer the epistemology, a subdivision of philosophers. How, where he come from, how this happened. This is not possible. It was hard for the apostles. It was hard for Paul, for John, for Mark, for all the early Christians living these times. And now, it's hard for us to live in these times. Our faith is being tested. And what is the big problem today for faith, for people? What do you think? Which could be? We have all the scriptures. We have all the information.
Fear.
Fear. Good answer, Kara. What else? It's not going to be easy to do something. It's not. Yeah, good answer, Jean. What else? What the world is trying to, sowing in our generation and in the next generations? Doubt. Why this happened in the world? Is Jesus not doing anything? Is God not doing anything? They use the God word to sow in doubt in our kids. They are using this. So when we understand that faith sustains us by God's word, by his promise, even in the dark night of the soul, we can keep alive and say, Lord, thanks for this time that I'm living here. Thanks for the suffering, because it's nothing compared to what the apostles were living in the past. I told you yesterday about one of my professors said that anxiety maybe is a blessing. Because when we have experienced anxiety, we can get more close to God. We can be more close to God and praying. We want an explanation why she has anxiety. Jenny was dealing with anxiety for years. Oh, she's a woman of God or not? We are human. Paul was with anxiety according to all this situation. How do you say, Elijah? He needs to sleep. God say, go and sleep. Go to rest. we need from him. We need to hear from him. We say faith is in opposition to these other two concepts. Yes? Absolutely. Reason. Which is the rational explain that everything obeys judgment based on thought and reason. Reason. I'm talking tomorrow. I'm going to do a, how to say, parenthesis. I will talk tomorrow about fact versus truth tomorrow. And then hope and love. Reason. I need a reason. Obey. When you say to your kids, obey. Why? Don't fight with your brother. Why? They always need a reason. Yes. What I can do it. Why we need to go to the church? Sometimes I say, reason. Which is the rational. Rational. Explain that everything obeys judgment based on thought and reason. Let's say now, the basis of knowledge, or rather knowledge, is based on two things, which we already mentioned. Reason and sense. Reason is related to the knowledge. Sense, what do you think sense is related to? Sciences. But over these two, what is on top? Faith. Do you believe? Zechariah, how long time he was without problems to, you remember, to speak? Professor said the other day, 9 months when his son born. Could speak. When he received the notification from the angel, he was asking that. He has a woman, and he don't believe. Mary, she didn't know man, and she believed. This is just a tip for what I will be teaching tomorrow about fact versus truth. So how many of you decide to believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord? You are here, I know. But how many say, I believe? How many say, I believe? I believe what I believe. I like the song of Third Day. I believe in God the Father. Almighty maker of heaven and earth. In Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. We can sing one day this song. I love it. When I hear that song, my hair says, poof! Like a perk, how do you say? When I read the Bible, when I understand how the apostle, how the people that wrote the Bible suffer, they live in the suffering, what about me? It's nothing. So I believe in Jesus Christ. Me and my house, we believe. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we confess that we need to hear more from you. We confess that we need more of you. We know that faith is in opposition to this other concept. But we believe in your word. I don't care that the people call me loco or crazy. But one thing that I know, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And this is what we want to live now, Lord, by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. Help us to understand in what we believe. Help us to pass, to give to our generations, to next generation, to our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, your word, your truth, and what is most important, the life that you are giving us. Life. We are here. Sometimes we know that you are here, but we know that you are working in our midst. Even if I don't see, I know you are working. I know that we know that you are working in our lives, in our kids, in our generations, in our church. We want an awakening. We pray for an awakening in our church, in our country, everywhere. An awakening from you, from the Holy Spirit. If we believe in your word, we can do greater things in the name of Jesus. We can pray for people in sickness and they will recover in your name. We can pray for many others. Because when you came to save, to heal, and deliver people. And this is part of our faith. And we say, thank you, Jesus, because the faith is the conviction. What's mean? The proof that you are living, that you're alive, that you live in us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In your name, amen. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Mickey. And exciting to hear what you're going to share tomorrow. So important. Because faith is one of those things that's hard for other people to understand, and especially when they know a little bit about Christianity, yet they can't get that faith piece. They can't kind of go there. So thank you. This afternoon, for the adults, the women will be down in the fellowship hall. Okay, we'll all be down there with worship first, and then we'll be splitting. That's right. Kara, is that what their plan is, right? We're starting down there with worship. We'll start with worship down there first. So everybody gather in the fellowship hall for worship, and then the women will stay there. The men will come up here. We'll do two separate sessions. The children will be up on the hill at the youth center, and the youth will be back at Pioneer Field, and that's all at 2 o'clock, so look forward to those times. Lunch will be served at noon up in the youth center, and lasagna today, so get your Garfield on, and let's go have some lasagna. And you know, I don't know how much we look at the fact that each of these meals is provided by one of our congregations, and so that's a special time, too. So we want to remember to thank the Palmyra Church for their role today. So that's why some of them aren't in here. for this time. So let's pray a blessing on the meal and ask God to bless our time together up there. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear from Mickey this morning and the things that you're sharing with us. Lord, we want to walk by faith, not by sight. That's not always easy, God. It really isn't. I've experienced it in my own life, that it's not always easy to walk by faith, because we want to see it. We want to really see it. We do. But Lord, help us to learn to do that even better in our lives. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon the meal that we're going to share in the in just a few minutes. I pray, God, your blessing on the Palmyra congregation and all those that have labored to prepare this food, and bless our fellowship and bless the food to our bodies, that it might give us strength and nourishment to continue on in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.